everyone, my name's Mel Chang and this is the She Dares podcast. She Dares is a community for women with daring mindsets to continuously break ourselves out of our comfort zones. So I started this podcast as a dare to myself because I have absolutely no experience in any audio recording. I don't think I'm particularly good in front of a camera, and also in terms of like my voice, do I have a very good radio voice? Probably not. And, you know, putting yourself out in the public space is always quite a daunting thing to do. And so I thought, why not? So this week, I'm very excited to be talking to Dom Granger. She is a really good mate of mine. We actually met hiking in the mountains for a weekend away. We had a mutual friend. Her energy is so inspiring. She travels all over the world and she's an action sports photographer. And if you want to check out her amazing pictures, you can check her out on Instagram. It's at Dom Granger. She's recently moved to the south of France. Let's get her on the podcast. Hey, Dom, how are you going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How did your move go?
It went well, actually. I still didn't find my own place, but I'm in a cool little temporary spot, so pretty good. The beach is nice.
Yeah, I've seen you've been doing some running on the beach. Very jealous. Thanks so much for coming on to She Dares.
Thanks for having me.
You know what we're about. I just wanted to ask a couple of questions about, you know, your past, because you've moved some countries before, and I just wondered if there was any kind of one moment in your life where you kind of broke out of your comfort zone and it was quite challenging.
Well, the answer is absolutely. Like, my first country move was definitely a big moment for me, like, to get out of my comfort zone. I think on the spot I didn't realize how much I was getting out of my comfort zone, but it actually started just a little bit before that when I learned to kite surf. And it sounds so cheesy, but it actually changed my life. Like, actually really changed my life. Not just like, oh, no, but really like I moved for that and everything. So I was in a place in my head, in a relationship as well, that was triggering a lot of anxiety. And for the 2 years before, I was pretty much crying every day. And it ended up being like, oh, this is how I am and everything. And so I ended up going on the vacation. The guy I was with at the time, he kited, and I was not the one to, I was not like gonna just stay on the beach and read a magazine. Like, you know me, I can't sit for that long. Well, he was having all the fun. So I was like, I want to learn. But I had been scared of water all my life before that. Actually scared, even as a baby, I did not want to have my head underwater. Like, as a 3 months old, like, my dad brought me to like the swimming classes and he was all proud because he did it with my sister. And he was like, I know how to do this. And it did not go well. I did not appreciate that at all. And even like as a kid, taking a shower and having water in my face was unbearable. My mom had to wash my hair in the sink with a cloth on my eyes and everything. Because I was like, my poor mom.
That's cute.
And so, yeah, I would go like swim and stuff. And like, if I didn't touch the bottom or the side, I was like freaking out. But it didn't change much because I didn't live by the ocean, or, you know, I didn't need to really. And at some point I decided I kind of wanted to go get over that. And kitesurfing was the way I did get over it. So I ended up going to take a 3-day kitesurf camp in Cape Hatteras in North Carolina. And as soon as I got like started to ride, I was like, oh my God, this is what I have to do. Like, this is what I want to do. And it turned out that like in that same vacation, like, honestly, learning this and getting over that fear gave me such confidence that I didn't have. I was like, I am able to do things that I'm scared of. You know, I think at that moment, it was not so clear in my head. It just happened in me and whatnot. But it was really like I ditched that boyfriend. during that vacation. Sorry, I couldn't find a better word. I broke up. That's the word I wanted to use.
I like ditched.
But actually, like, and it did, I mean, it did help that, like, the coach I had was kind of hot. And it was not going well with that guy. Anyways, so, but actually, like, that guy I was with was always telling me, like, I move too fast, I'm too loud, I have to slow down, I have to calm down and everything. And, you know, you're 21 and you're like, and he's older and you're like, oh, shit. Like, I tried to be somebody I was not. Then I learned the kite in that same week, that same guy that was like, oh, he's cool and everything. He told me, he was like, I really love your energy. And then it clicked. And I was like, oh, is it likable? I was like, well, damn, I was fooled for 2 years. And I actually, like, before the end of vacation, I broke up with him. We did have to do, like, 20-hour car drive afterward together, which was interesting.
Awkward.
But, yeah, awkward. But I stuck with it, and I spent 3 weeks at home. Then I went back to Cape Hatteras. I was like, this is where I want to be. At that point, I was like, I want to become a pro kite surfer. And really cute when I think about it back. But I just went over there and on my own. I didn't know anyone. I went with that guy, actually. And yeah, and then I realized having a visa in another country is not an easy thing. So I ended up, like, spending the summer in Victoria and BC, British Columbia, sorry, and the west coast of Canada. But I had one goal at that point, was kite surfing. I was like, this is what I have to do. Like, I had that feeling. And I think for the first time in my life, I was really conscious of the fact that I was in tune with myself. And I was like, I have a feeling, this is what I have to do. I know there's a lot of, like, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should keep studying. Or maybe I finished my bachelor's degree. But then I was like, I'm gone. And I did what it took to get a work vacation visa in the States, and I went to teach kiteboarding the year after. So I started with, like, the small lessons because I was not that good, I guess, but I'm a good teacher, so I could, like, explain stuff. And so I moved over there. I lived there for 4 years, and, like, really just like, okay, this is what I need to do. And my whole life revolved around kitesurfing. And this is also where I discovered that, like, sport has to be part of my life. And, like, you know, getting out of your comfort zone is not only, like, okay, moving spaces and whatnot, but, like, I ended up doing it, like, on a daily basis with sports and physical activity. And that helped my brain a lot.
So when you actually took the leap, like, what do you think made you actually dare to get in the water?
I kind of had decided that I had enough of that. Like, it was not necessary in my life. I just was like, okay, I really want to get over this, so I'm going to take the steps that it takes. And sometimes, I mean, especially with fears, I mean, it's mental. Like, by definition, a fear is in your head, and it's you like, sometimes it has a reason to be there, and fear is a healthy thing. But panic fears that are, like, irrational.
Irrational fears, yeah.
Irrational fears. So that was one of them. Like, having a bit of water splashed on your face is not a problem. You know, like, it's okay. It doesn't, like, or swimming under the water, it's fine. There's no, it's not like, oh, I might die if I, like, go in a 3-meter wave, you know. That, yeah, you can be scared. That's normal. And that's, hopefully you're a bit scared. But I think, yeah, I think I just had decided I was going to get over that. And it was not just, I tried, like, scuba diving to get over it. That was a bit too immersive. the moment I had to, like, flip the mask up to, like, and then put it back on, I was like, okay, no, too much. And I think kitesurfing was actually the right way to do it because, I mean, once you stop getting dragged around in the water, you're basically all on top of the water. So you fall, you have to swim and everything, but you're not, like, submerged all the time. So I think that helped me, like, do the transition towards more submersive activities, like surfing, for example.
And the boyfriend that you ditched, I love the word ditched. Was it only because he did kite surfing that made you want to?
Yeah, I would not have discovered that sport before. He wanted me to learn because he was like, yeah, cool, we can do this together and everything. And at first he was like, don't take a lesson. It's silly. I'll teach you. Worst idea ever, ever. To anyone who listens, if you want to learn a like action sport, just go take a lesson with somebody else. Plus, if it's a condition-dependent sport, your significant other will want to ride when it's good. So it's never going to be the right time to learn. So better pay someone, go find a professional, and he or she might be cute.
I totally agree. Yeah, partners teaching each other doesn't work.
Nah, it can lead to a lot of yelling.
Where did you get to where you are today?
I think with that decision of learning the kitesurf, really, like when I say it changed my life, like I went from like a university student who was gonna live in a, I don't know, in Eastern Canada and probably in the city or a suburb or something like that, to like now it's been what, 12, 13 years, and I didn't stop traveling, I didn't stop moving, I moved places, and I did so many things professionally. So I started with kitesurfing coach, and I decided to go there because I knew that all the pros go there. This is like a kitesurfing hub in North America. I wanted to be part of that scene, so I positioned myself there. And there was a French guy who worked for a French magazine, whose house I'm in right now, actually. I came to see him this weekend, like 10 years later, which is pretty funny, actually. He was French, and I speak French, so we're like, oh, we were talking and everything, and a couple months later, he wrote to me, he's like, hey, would you be interested, like, translating our kite magazine, because we lost our translator. I was like, yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, let's do that. And that's something I could do on the side. So I started with that. After a year of doing that and getting paid very poorly, very poorly, I said, well, I'm getting paid very poorly. I would need to be paid more if you want me to continue. So they said, we can offer you better. We want to do an international version of the magazine. Do you want to be the editor-in-chief? I said, sure, why not? I had no idea. I didn't study in any of that. But I knew the sport, I knew both languages, and I knew people at that point. I knew I was getting more and more contacts and everything. So I did that for a few years. And these guys who have the magazine, they also are the organizers of a massive, massive action sport event in the south of France. It's called the FIS in Montpellier. And so I started translating for the website for them, for those event. And after watching the live of one event and translating the news, I told them, I was like, hey guys, you're doing it all in French and you want to be international. So why don't you do it in English? And by the way, I see that you don't have any women in your live show. I think you should. And I happen to know somebody who is a woman and speaks English and French, which is me. So the year after, I sent them like a little demo and I became their field reporter. I didn't know anything about like BMX, skateboard, rollerblade, mountain biking slopestyle or any of that. And I was like, I can learn. So I did that, kept translating for them, did a couple things for them. Got it more into wakeboarding as well, with the kitesurfing, with that scene, traveled a bunch. And eventually I broke my collarbone. And for the first year, I still did everything. But then after a year, I was like, oh, it still hurts. I realized that it never healed. So I had to have a surgery. And so like the healing process was still very slow afterward. And I had a big wakeboarding trip planned, like to go all over Europe in a camper van. This is when we met, Mel. And I couldn't use my left arm actively. I was not allowed. So I started taking pictures and there started photography for me.
I didn't know that part of the story, that It was only because of your collarbone you couldn't actually do anything.
Yeah, I couldn't ride. So I was supposed to do content and everything, but I was going to do a couple pictures here and there and write a lot more and write a bit as well. But then I was just watching all my friends on the water, and the first day I cried a little bit. I went to the little corner and I was like, okay, then I'm going to take pictures. And I actually loved it so much. And I find it's really a way to like share the moment with the person in front. You know, I'm so happy when they do a trick, or then like when we get something good. It's yeah. really like, yeah, cool. I got a picture.
During that time, was there any moment where you were like, oh no, this is definitely not for me?
Yeah, I had one of those moments. It's actually after I moved to Austria. Like I went from being a photographer on the surf camp, like living in a bikini, to like, oh, I'm going to take this job in Salzburg in an office. Like, who does that? Like, nobody people do the opposite. I took this job at Red Bull. It was a really good opportunity. I was like, I have to try it. I wasn't sure, but yeah, okay. I'd give it a go and whatnot. And for sure at the beginning, it's all fun and games because it's new. And you're like, yay, new people, new city, new job. And after, I think about 3 months after, I realized that like sitting in an office is really not for me. I have been like freelancing for like, I don't know, like so many years. And before I was teaching kitesurfing outside. And at some point I started to think like, okay, this is not for me. Okay, what do I do? Maybe I'll quit at the end of the year. And then I lost my job, but they gave me a restructuration. So I lost my job with a nice package. They paid me to stop working. I said, oh, all right, I'll do it. But this really brought me, I took another job like right away. That was also a lot more at the computer and everything. And it really brought me to think like, okay, what do I want? Because, you know, when you open your laptop and your belly hurts, you're like, okay, maybe there might be a small issue here. So I sat down with myself and I asked myself, okay, what did I miss the most in the last 2 years that I've been working in this other context? And then like the answer for me was photography. So I said, okay, forget that. I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to just become a photographer. And then I went back. It's not easy. And everybody was like, oh, but you know, it's really hard not to find work as a photographer, like in sports. I was like, I mean, everything can be hard. So it's not because, like, this is something, people, if someone tells you, oh, but this is really hard, it doesn't matter. Like, we all do hard things. Like, just, if you feel like this is what you have to do, it's not because it's hard that it's impossible. Yeah, cool, thanks. Thanks for the warning. I might just work harder to get what I want. But yeah, it can be super discouraging to be told that all the time. And I think it's just people that are like, well, some people, they kind of want to care for you and protect you from hardships. But yeah, a lot of people, I think they're just jealous that you're making decisions for yourself.
You're so, so inspiring because, yeah, I mean, most people would be like, oh, it's too hard. Yeah, there's too many people doing it. I won't bother because I'm not going to be as good. And you, like someone tells you that and you're like, yeah, well, I'm going to go for it. And look at you now, you know, she's doing some of the biggest events and like biggest athletes in the world. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Because I was not always thinking in that way. Like when I was younger, I remember when I started in fashion design. I think I didn't have like the, like today, if something is hard, I'm just going to keep trying. But in the past, when I was younger, if something was hard, I would abandon. Like I would be a bit lazy mentally. Like it's hard. You know, like a child who doesn't want to make any effort. That was probably me. But I started in fashion design. I decided to not do it and everything. And I was talking to a friend of my mom and I was telling him like, yeah, anyways, like the average salary for that job, I had read that it was like is XYZ, which was a low salary, like super low income for that kind of work. And he was like, who cares about the average? You don't have to be in the average. You can like, what's the biggest salary you can get? Like, why don't you just think of that? You know, and I was like, ah, and like, he kind of confronted me in my thing. I was not ready for that at that point. But now I remember that sentence of like, You can be wherever you want.
So now you're a photographer, photographer, or
No, more just an action sport photographer, and I shoot a lot in the water now, actually, which is pretty funny when I think back as how I didn't like to be in the water. Now it's my job.
That's pretty crazy.
What I didn't say is that that fear is still there. I've had countless panic attacks in the water in the last 10 years. I'm like surfing and riding and going in bigger and bigger conditions, but the fear, the panic is still there and can still be there. And once it clicks in, you know you're doomed for the rest of the session because it's not going to go. And it's actually quite dangerous when you know you can panic in the water because you just do the wrong thing. And it's really hard to bring it back to like, okay, I'm not panicking. So kind of have to stop the session, go calm down. Sometimes I can come back the same day, sometimes not. Still have a bit of work to do, so.
That sounds, pretty challenging. How do you manage those panic attacks when you're like on a shoot with a client?
Luckily enough, I didn't have them on a shoot. And I think now I'm a lot more solid than I used to be. But if I go surfing, or it happened with me, like the last time I had a big one was in Nicaragua. I went and I was in a super confident place where I was going all the time in the water. I went when it was really big, got held under a little bit, like opened my eyes and didn't know where it was up or down or whatnot. So really made me panic and managed to go out. A friend was with me. I went to his board and, you know, you're hyperventilating and you have to tell yourself like, okay, now you're going to swim. Like to remember as if you're talking to somebody else and really be directive. Just like if someone beside you is panicking, you have to be like, okay, now this is what you're going to do. And because you can't think straight. So like if I really need to get out of the situation, this is what I do. And then the process is a bit tough because there's like the acceptance of like, oh, I went back to that. Oh, I feel like this is a step back. And then the few times after that where I was looking at the ocean, I started to feel my throat closing. So it's kind of like pushing your limit just enough, but not too much. But then if anxiety happens, it's anxiety. It's a panic attack. The same way that I can have it on dry land. Well, you have to breathe. You have to be in the moment. You have to listen to the noises around you, the sounds around you, to feel like, okay, where do I feel warmth on my body? Where do I feel whatever like brings you being conscious of the moment and like the physical sensations as well. And like listen to your breathing, count with the breathing and that kind of stuff. And it does help. But yeah, a lot of the time if I'm in the water and I have that, I have to get up. And I try to take my time and not panic to do it, but like, it's better if I get out in an efficient way. And I think when I'm shooting for somebody, just because I'm focused on something else, I don't tend to go towards panicking so much anymore. I mean, I've also done a shit ton of work on myself and in the last 10 years. So, of course, now I'm able to deal with it better. And I'm also able to say, like, I can't go in these conditions. This is too much for me. So this is something I tell people, like I worked for a surf camp. I was like, I have a limit of conditions when I'm happy to go in the water with you guys. If not, I can offer this option, shoot from land, shoot from a boat, whatever. But I have to like accept my limits and not like push it too hard if I want to keep progressing, basically.
You know, every guest that comes on the show gets to give me a dare. She's rubbing her hands. So what is it?
All right, it's not so bad. Okay, it's something I've been doing for quite a few weeks now. A friend of mine talked to me about this and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna give it a try. So it's a little bit of a morning ritual. I'm not gonna talk about routines. It's a ritual. When you get up in the morning, basically you take a cold shower. Okay, it can sound absolutely unpleasant. But there is a nice way to do it where the first few times it's kind of surprising, but you have to kind of be in it and breathe. Like breathing is really good for that. Okay. So what she does is she takes and what I do now is to take like non-roasted sesame oil, or I guess it could work with any other oil, and you just like put a bit of oil on your skin, rub like nicely everywhere, take the time to like make it penetrate in your skin and everything. Then you go in the shower, you put it cold. You don't have to put it like ice cold, just like cool. And then you start, you take the shower head in one hand, and then you start with like one foot, and you go up your leg and you rub with your other hand, and you do mm-hmm. both legs, your belly, and then you do your arm. Like if you do your right arm, you take the shower head in your right hand, and then you rub with your left hand like this. The back is a bit tough, and if you see that you're getting like, and you're holding your breath because it's cold, force yourself to breathe. And then you, ideally, you do the whole thing 3 times. But some mornings, you can just do it once. It's fine. And you can, okay. Obviously, if you want to wash, you just turn on the hot water after and take your normal shower after. So I dare you to do it for a week.
Okay.
Sometimes when you're like, you're groggy in the morning, especially when you work from home, it wakes you up and it's like, okay, time to go. You know, time to go to work, mm-hmm. even if going to work means walking to your table.
Okay, cool. How do you feel now after doing it?
I feel really like it's energizing.
Great. So if any other listeners want to do this with me for a week, then please do. I'll report back.
Good luck.
Dom, this has been so awesome, so inspiring, as always, talking to you. Thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor.
I've been reading this morning about the nut oil before the shower. And apparently, yeah, it's pretty good. It's hydrating, it's moisturizing. It can be used as an astringent, so it has tannins, which are powerful antioxidants. So it can cleanse and shrink pores and remove bacteria. It boosts collagen production. It helps reduce the appearance of scars. It may help reduce the appearance of fine lines, which I definitely will start to need. And it helps protect against sun damage. So overall, it seems like a good idea. So Dom, thanks. I will give it a go. Going to my kitchen. I'm pretty sure I have some hazelnut oil. I do. Handcrafted in France. Looks good. I'm going to try it, not everywhere. I'm going to put it like on my main torso. So in case I have a weird reaction, which I'm quite a sensitive soul. So I'm going to try that, see how it goes, and then have a shower. And then, you know, tomorrow I'll see how I feel. Heading to the shower. Pouring it out. I don't have too much. Apparently, they said when I was reading about it, they said be careful. Obviously, oil gets everywhere and you don't want to slip in the shower, so safety first. God, I hope I don't smell like peanuts when I go into the office. I'm going to have to try and mask that because it smells quite a lot. Okay, jumping in the shower. So I'm fully cold. Okay, that's pretty. My skin is pretty soft, and I would say it feels much nicer when I get out of the shower, and honestly I feel quite energized. I mean, the shower itself is pretty shocking, and I don't think I want to do it every day, but I definitely, on the days that I get up and I feel a little bit low, not bad. Don't forget, 1 week after the episode goes live, I'll be posting an Instagram reel of how I got on with the dare. Go check it out and challenge yourself to join me in the next ones.